Please sit down, and if you would, take the Bible again and turn to page 170 in the Old Testament section, page 170, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. For those of you who may be new, we have notebooks and pencils in the seat pockets, and if you find it helpful, as I do when others are preaching, to take notes, then please use those to take notes, and an outline of the sermon will be up here on the screen. It's not easy being a parent in the 21st century. Those of you who are older, who are perhaps grandparents now, may say, well, it wasn't easy being a parent in the 20th century. And I'm sure you're right. I know that I caused my parents many, many sleepless nights. But this is not an easy society now in which Christians are bringing up children. That's why we're having six sermons on the joys and struggles of parenting. And this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6, allows us to recap where we've got to so far. In the first sermon, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the question, what do we want for our children? And we saw how the Bible says our primary desire for our children is not that they should do well at school or university, not that they should get a good job, not even that they should marry well and be happy. Our primary desire is that they should be followers of Jesus. Moses says that here. If you look at verse 1, he says, this is the commandment, the statutes and ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you. Why? Verse 2. So that you and your children's children, your grandchildren, may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life. To fear God means, of course, to hold him in awe and to love him. And that's what we want for our children, that they will stand in awe of Jesus and love Jesus all their life. Last week we looked at the question, how can we do most good to our children? And we saw how the Bible says not primarily by working hard and providing financial security for our family, not by encouraging their social life or feeding them healthily, but primarily by ourselves being godly. And this chapter emphasizes that too. Verses 4 and 5 are amongst the most famous verses in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then Moses adds, keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. So the best thing we can do for our children is to love God ourselves genuinely and wholeheartedly, and our children will see this and are much more likely then to grow to love Jesus themselves. Well, that brings us to today's question. How can we help our children be lifelong followers of Jesus? How can we arrange home life and family life so that they have the best possible opportunity for keeping going throughout their lives as disciples of Christ? And this passage answers emphatically, make a home where the Bible is central. So verse 7 goes on, if you would look at it with me. Recite these teachings to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. In other words, steep your family life in the Bible, read the Bible to your children, talk about Bible stories and Bible truths everywhere. This verse says, at home and away from home. For us, that would be in the car, out walking, on holiday. And at all times of day, this verse says, be ready for talk about the Bible with your children at any time from the first thing in the morning to the last thing at night. And then the chapter goes on, verse 8, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorsteps of your house and on your gates. You probably know the Jews take this literally. If you come with me about Easter time next year on our next All Saints visit to Israel, you'll find in any Jewish hotel that we're in a box with Bible verses on the doorframe. But whether Moses meant us to do that or not, he certainly meant that in a godly family, we would say in a Christian family, the Bible should constantly be read and talked about and understood and known and discussed and obeyed. The Bible says to any of us who have a good, close relationship with any children, make your home life a place where the Bible is central. So what does this mean in practice? Well, it means first, of course, that we parents or grandparents must read the Bible to our children. Look at verse 7. Speaking about Bible teachings, it says to us very clearly, recite them to your children. And the Hebrew word for recite means actually repeat. Never stop the reading of the Bible with your children, it says. Read the stories again and again and again. That's why in every Christian home there should be not just one book of Bible stories for our children, but many, many, going over the same stories but with different pictures and different words. In our family, we've always called these times hem hem. That's because we say we're a Christian family. We read the Bible every single day. You see, the truth is, one or two days in seven, we didn't manage it. But up to the age of 13, that's just a few months ago now for you, so I've only just sadly stopped this after I don't know how many years. But up to the age of 13, we did read the Bible with our children almost every day. Catherine and I have a big marital bed. And every morning we would wake the children about 20 minutes earlier than they would otherwise have needed to get up. And one of us adults piled into bed with all the children as well. One child prayed, that's how we began, that we would all learn from God's word. And then the adult normally would read the story, usually from a children's Bible story book, sometimes from the Bible itself. Occasionally the children would act out the story, often with much hilarity. They were great family times of being snug in bed together, of reading the Bible, getting to know the Bible together. In fact, it's one of my treasured memories with our oldest, when she was the only one I was reading the Bible to, and Catherine was as well, a treasured memory of telling her for the very, very first time the story of the prodigal son and thinking, I think this is the most important story in the whole wide world, and I've got the privilege of telling it to you for the very first time. When each child became 13, we gave them a Bible and some notes and helped them to start reading the Bible on their own. Other families, of course, do it differently. I know many families who read the Bible with their children last thing at night. Some families read as we do all together, or as we used to do. Others read with each child individually. But the vital thing is to work out how in your family, reading the Bible and its stories will be an absolutely natural part of everyday family life. Read the Bible, says Deuteronomy chapter 6. Secondly, talk about the Bible to your children. Look with me at the whole of verses 7 to 9. recite or repeat them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If you love stories, they come up all the time in your conversation. We have lots of old family stories. You probably do too. And they are always coming up in family conversation. That's like the time when Granddad was almost killed by a bomb. Do you remember the time when Uncle Colin fell through the ceiling? Like that time that Hugh got lost on holiday. And it's just the same with the Bible. When our children know the Bible stories well, they'll be saying, Jesus understands that. He went through so much suffering himself on the cross. Of course there's life after death. Don't you remember how Jesus said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Maybe God is asking me to give up Sunday football. After all, Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac even though he didn't want to. Yes, says verses 7 to 9, we're to talk about the Bible with our children at set times, at meal times, and all the time. But I want to concentrate on the set times, those times every day which we've called in our family hem-hem. It's not enough simply to read the stories, we need to talk about them. In our case, reading the story would take maybe 6 or 7 minutes. The other 13 minutes were for talking. Frequently we would ask the children, what strikes you most in this story? Or what do you think God is saying to us in this passage? We might well be more specific. What does this story tell us about Jesus? How does it show that the Holy Spirit works? Or it might be, Abraham had to keep believing God's promises even though nothing was happening. When do we have to hold on to God's promise when God seems to be doing nothing yet? Or what difference could this passage make to you at school today? And so we talked and made sure every child chipped in. Everyone saying something that they learned from the passage. It's true that you could sometimes sense that one or more of the children were just saying something to keep Dad or Mum happy. I've got to say something, so I'll find it somewhere. That didn't matter. Day by day by day, as we talked, as they talked, they were learning from God's Word. And then each of us prayed a short prayer about what we'd learned, before we all tumbled out of bed and the rest of the day began. So second, says this passage, don't just read, but talk about the Bible with your children. And third, use the Bible to answer your children's questions. Look now towards the end of chapter 6, where a new paragraph begins at verse 20. When your children ask you in time to come, what's the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you? In other words, I don't understand this part of the Bible. I don't see why God says we must do this. Verse 21. Then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. In other words, point them back to the Bible. Remind them of the Bible stories that they know so well, and then explain the implications that answer their questions. That's what verses 24 and 25 are doing. Then, that is, therefore, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. If we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, we will be in the right with God. Children are full of questions, aren't they? What will heaven be like? Will people who don't know Jesus be there? Why do I have to go to junior church? Why don't you hire any DVD films that are 18s? Why doesn't God protect the Christians in Iraq? What happens when we pray? Every question our child asks is important, especially questions about Jesus, about sin, about why we're different from other families, and I love that part of your prayers, David and Sam, thank you, about heaven and hell. And we as parents need to answer those questions not off the top of our head, still less with any answer to keep the children quiet, but from the Bible. With teenagers and older children, it's best if you can open the Bible. I wish we'd done that more often, actually, not just quoting it, but open it to look at its answers together, to discuss what it says. With younger children, you will more often refer to a Bible story they know or to some teaching that Jesus gave. And if you don't know what the Bible says on the subject, don't make up an answer. All Christian parents will and quite often should say, that's a very good question. I'm not sure of the Bible's answer. Let me look at it and come back to you with what the Bible says. And then, of course, you need to do just that. Our children will always be asking us questions. It's great that they do. And we need to use the Bible, the stories and the teaching of the Bible, as the only sure answer to the questions that they raise. What we want is for every one of our children to become a lifelong Bible reader. We can go on throughout our lives talking about the Bible when it comes naturally in our family conversation. That should never stop. But we can't and shouldn't go on reading the Bible with our children forever. There comes a time when they need to start reading the Bible on their own. And as I've said, in our case, we've started each one at 13. This picture makes it look very ordered and formal. With our children, they're much more likely to be curled up on their bed reading the Bible or lying on the floor. But we have encouraged them to have a pencil in their hand, either to fill in the answers to the questions in the teenage Bible reading notes we give them, or to do what I do every day myself, to jot down in a notebook what they believe God is saying in the passage that they're reading. It's important to help your children when they're launching out on their own, to give them Bible reading notes with a passage for each day and questions to answer, or to tell them simple questions with which they can approach any passage, like, what does this passage teach me about Jesus or God? What's the most important verse for me to hear today? What do I need reminding of here? Or how can I obey what God is saying here? I've written out some of those questions and given it to Hugh on a little card to keep in his Bible, so that especially if he's finding a particular passage tough and he's not getting anything out of it, he can refer back to those questions. In fact, he was, and I need to ask him about it, I'll come back to that in a moment, writing out the answer to each of the questions in his spindly handwriting each day. And, to come on to that, it's equally important to talk with our teenage and older children about how their Bible reading is going, including making it easy for them to say that they're finding it difficult or it's not happening at all. So we ask, are you managing to keep up with reading the Bible, or are you finding it tough? Which part of the Bible are you reading at the moment? Are you able to find help in it most days, or are you struggling to find what it's saying? Those will be some of the most important conversations we have with our children. And it may be necessary for a short time to go back to reading with them if they're finding that they're just not getting anything out of it. And if we can help them, probably with ups and downs, to become a lifelong Bible reader, then they will almost certainly be a lifelong Christian. Because a boy or girl, a man or woman, who reads the Word of God every day or most days, will be a man or woman who sticks with God and gives their love to God till the end of their life. And that man or woman, your child, will look back to their upbringing and thank God, as several of you do, that your parents made a home for you where the Bible was central. Let us pray. Let's take a moment to be quiet and to think. It's not a time so much to look back and think, oh, I wish I'd done this or I haven't done that. It's more a time to look ahead and to ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do to make the Bible still more central in our family home? A time for thinking that through.